And look, you know, I know that I lost some of y'all when I mentioned David Duke. Amen. Focus back in. Focus back in. The point is, don't get distracted. That's the point. That's the point. All right? Acts 5 and verse 7. Hallelujah. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then, the Bible says, fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Somebody say, by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Saints of God, we've been studying in the book of Acts. And we've been studying Ananias and Sapphira. And we notice our first point, how they kept back part of the proceeds that they had promised to give to the Most High God. Remember, they promised it because they saw Barnabas give it and receive notoriety and acclaim. And Ananias and Sapphira say, well, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to come like Barnabas and pretend to give everything while we hold some back. And the Bible tells us that God dealt with them. And a lot of people reading this story say, man, what did Ananias and Sapphira do wrong? Well, number one, it was hypocrisy. They pretended to be something that they were not. Number two, it was lying and deceit. They act like they was giving all but didn't give, amen, what they act like. Number three, it was selfish ambition. They wanted to be like Barnabas and wanted spiritual status and notoriety. And that was the only motivation. It wasn't the glory of God. It was for self. Number four, they loved the praise of men. As they watch people applaud Barnabas, they say, ooh, we want to be like that. We want to be something in the church. And also, they love money. They wanted the acclaim and the notoriety, but they like their l'argent as well. They say, we're going to give, but we ain't giving all. They kept back part of the money. And lastly, they doubted God. Because anytime you don't give God the portion that God requires of you, whether it's the tithe or a vow that you promise, and you get worried, God, can't give this because I got bills and I got this and I got that. The fundamental issue here is that you have, hallelujah, a failure of faith in the Most High God. Because here you are thinking that you are the provider. Here you are thinking that you're going to make the ends meet. And so you don't do what God tells you to do, amen, because you're afraid that you're not going to have enough. When God said, amen, hallelujah, if I clothe the lilies of the field, I'm going to clothe you. If I provide for the birds of the air, I'm going to provide for you. If you give, I'm going to make sure to give back to you. Hallelujah. That's what God had said. And when you refuse to give God's portion or what you vow, the systemic problem is an absence of financial faith in the Most High God to provide for your needs. That could be for a lot of reasons. Maybe you grew up in poverty and in lack. You grew up eating bologna sandwiches, amen. Putting them in the pot till it bubbled in the middle. Taking the string off and eating the meat off the string. That's how hard you grew up. You grew up, Vienna sausage was filet mignon. I understand that. I know you grew up hard, all right? But it don't change who God is. He's promised to provide all your needs. And so they had a lack of faith, so they kept back part. The Bible says, but Peter said, why everybody in the church was applauding Ananias and Sapphira? The Bible said, Peter looked at him and he saw through the mask, saw through the surface, saw through the silhouette of godliness. And the Bible says, Peter said, Ananias, you know, why had Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And we said for us, It was a call that all of us should seek God's spiritual gift of discernment. Amen. To see through hypocrisy. And I gave you different areas where discernment would be of, hallelujah, utmost necessity in our lives. Discernment with our relationship with our spouses so we could properly watch their backs. Discernment with our children to see when the devil's coming in like a flood so we could quickly, hallelujah, with the Lord's help, raise up a standard against him. Discernment, amen, on our jobs, in our ministries, in our 12s, hallelujah, in the groups that we oversee. Discernment in the church, local church. Discernment in the church, universal church and global. Discernment in our history, what's real and what's not real. Discernment in our future, what's for us and what's not for us. Because one thing you don't want to be somebody that's simple, that just take things at face value. I hear people that, hallelujah, when you put it in a book and you put it in print, they believe it. But you got to look well into your goings. And Peter didn't believe what he just saw. He said, uh-uh. He said, Ananias, you're hiding something. We need that discernment. Third part, hearing these words, the Bible says that Ananias gave up the ghost. He fell down dead. All right? And so God judged Ananias right on the spot. You see? And so we talked about that a little bit. This morning, we want to pick up in verse 7. And I guess if we had to title this message, it would be called Ananias and Sapphira, part 2. Somebody say part 2. That's right, part 2. We'll have 2 points. Agree together and by her husband. The majority of the sermon is going to be point number 1. By her husband is just going to be a quick conclusion. So we're going to stay on point number 1 for most of the time. All right? Let's go to it. Agreed together. The Bible says in 5:7, and it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. So here it is. This is after Ananias is busted. After he's confronted, rebuke, after he gives up the ghost and dies, and the little young men come and bury him. After all this, about 3 hours later, his wife, Sapphira, comes in to speak with Peter. Now, I don't know if she's looking for Ananias, if they were supposed to go by Chili's or Cheddar's, amen, and he was running a little bit late. I don't know what happened, all right? But all I know, she come in looking for Peter, come in before Peter. You know what I'm saying? The Bible is specific about her lack of knowledge about the previous incidents. So she comes in, and the Bible says she don't know what happened. She didn't know what happened with her husband and with Peter. And I wish she did, Mike. See, because sometimes if you know better, you're going to do better. I just in my heart, I said, Lord, I wish she would have known because it could have turned out better for her. You see what I'm saying? The Bible says in verse 8, let's look at it. And Peter answered or asked her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Now, wait. Let's pump the brakes. Some people look at this and say, man, Peter, wrong for that. Peter knew that the amount of money that they put on the tithe envelope wasn't the real one. Peter know that. Why he asking Sapphira that? When he know the amount was not right, why is he asking Sapphira that? Is he being mean? Is he being rude? Is he trying to rub it in her face? Nah. You're looking through the wrong glasses. What Peter is trying to do is show Sapphira mercy. He's trying to extend to her the grace of God. Peter knows that Sapphira and Ananias have colluded together to do something that was against the laws of God. Her husband failed the test. But what Peter is actually doing is giving Sapphira another opportunity. Hey, he's giving us space to repent. He's given an occasion to be able to change her mind. What Peter is doing right here is asking Sapphira, who are you with this morning? Are you with God or are you with your husband? Are you with the truth or are you with a lie? Are you with the Most High or are you with the Most Low, Satan himself? It's an opportunity. Sapphira is at the crossroads right now. She's in the valley of decision. And oh, when you're at that place, you got to make the right decision. You got to make the right decision. We serve a God, y'all, that's so good. All right? At the moment Ananias told the lie, God could have killed both of them on the spot, wherever she was. Whether she was at the Limited in the mall, I don't know where she was. But wherever she was, when God took care of Ananias, God could have taken care of her because he's everywhere. He's all everywhere present. He's omnipresent. And she was part of it. But God took Ananias out, kept her alive, and gave her a second chance. Woo! An opportunity for repentance. Listen to me. This is the mode of operation of God. It's his M.O. He very rarely judges and comes down upon people without giving them space to repent. Without giving them an opportunity to change their direction. If you think about our Bible and you do a survey of scripture, God always gives a chance. This is Sapphira's chance. I remember reading about the Noahic flood. And before Noah's flood, don't you know that God gave him space to repent? Noah was out there over 100 years building that ark and trying to tell the people it's about to rain. Them people laughing at Noah. Noah, what you building over there, Noah? And why are them animals in your yard, Noah? And they laugh at Noah. But that ark and Noah's testimony was their opportunity, like Sapphira's opportunity, to get right with God. You see what I'm saying? And that opportunity of that ark didn't stop until the water came up and God shut the door. All right? It teaches us that he gives a chance for repentance. But at some point, that chance, boom, it closes. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Not just Noah in the situation with Sodom and Gomorrah. God gave a chance for repentance. I love what God tells Abraham when he's on his way to Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I'm going to see whether what I hear, the cry that come up to me, I'm going to see whether it be true or not. Now, God, you know whether it's true or not. You everywhere present. You know, you omniscient. You know whether what's going on is going on. But he still sent some angels to go see what's going on. When the angels walk in the city, amen, that was the Sapphira moment. Sodom could have gotten right with God at that point. They could have did right. They could have repented. But what did they do? They wanted to take advantage of even the angels that were sent to go and see if sin was present. You see? They missed the Sapphira moment. I'm going to ask you here. Have you ever had a Sapphira moment? Woo! Where God come and see about which direction you're heading in life? Where he put you in that crossroad and he asks you who you with? You see? He did it even in Jericho. It's his M.O. He sent them two spies in there. And only Rahab was there to receive the spies. And she made the right decision. Come on, give God some glory, amen. You can look at it. Listen, we can go on for days. Jonah and Nineveh. Always a warning, always a check. And Nineveh made the right decision. You see? What you saying, Pastor? Listen, don't miss your chance to repent. Don't miss your chance to get right with God. Don't miss your chance to redirect yourself and go the right way. For somebody in here, your chance is this service. Ooh, woo! You like Sapphira right now. And God know what's on your heart. God know what you plan. God know the deception that you're about to do. And God knows the direction you're about to take. And God is going to challenge you in this service. And he's going to ask you the question, who you with? Who you with? Did you sell the land for this much, Sapphira? Who you with? And he's going to give you an opportunity to repent. And we're going to have an altar call. And we're going to tell you how Jesus loved you and how he died for your sins. And you're going to have a chance to escape eternal judgment. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. But Sapphira did not repent. Peter said, did you sell the land for this much? And look what she says at the end of verse 8. Yes, for so much. Oh, Sapphira. 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 Make the right decision. She did not confess. She didn't tell the truth. I'm getting mail in the spirit right now. I'm getting mail in the spirit right now. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times God will come and ask you a question that he already know the answer to. You know what I'm saying? He just want to know that you're going to confess. Remember what he did with Cain? He said, where your brother at? Where your brother? It was his chance to repent. And look what Cain said. Am I my brother's keeper? At that moment, he could have been, Lord, I lost my temper. All right, let's keep going. Come on, let's keep going. So she did not confess. Verse 9. Look what it says. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have what? Agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord. Now let's stop right there. That phrase agreed together, hallelujah, stuck out to me. One of the meanings, hallelujah, in my study, especially in the new translations, it means to conspire together. To be conspirators. And to conspire means to make secret plans jointly to commit an unlawful or harmful act. It means to come together, two people or three people, and plot, scheme, collude, connive, collaborate to bring about a particular result that's usually negative or sinful. And Ananias and Sapphira conspired against God, against his spirit, against his church, and against his people. They were agreed together to do wrong. I want action here. Are you agreed together with somebody to do wrong against God this morning? Have y'all come together and say, we're going to do this, even though God say you shouldn't? I know that nobody else knows this morning, but God knows this morning. Amen. Are you agreed together with somebody to do wrong? That's what Ananias and Sapphira did. Listen to me. I want to share with you the classes of people, the categories of people that we are most in danger of conspiring with against the Most High God. The first category would be spouses. Just like Ananias and Sapphira, you're married to somebody, amen. And sometimes, even in the marriage, y'all agree and y'all do right together. But guess what? You can fall into that trap of doing wrong together too. Where both husband and wife know the direction they're going is wrong and nobody say nothing. Nobody speak with the better reason of judgment and say, no, this is wrong. We got to get right. That's how Sapphira was. If Sapphira would have just said something to her husband, they both would have been alive. I don't know who I'm preaching to up in here. I don't know who I'm preaching to up in here, but we got a husband and a wife. Hallelujah. They know they're doing wrong before the Most High. And nobody's saying anything. Another category would be children. Oh, them children. We love them so much, and we know their sins, and we know their sinful dispositions. And instead of getting on the side of God, we get on the side of our children. We have agreed together with them against the Most High. We're going to hide the drugs in our house. We won't tell the police when they come by. We're going to spend that drug money. We're going to let that little girl go upstairs to their room. We're going to make sure that they sin against the Most High. We're going to buy them the music, the devil worship music. We're going to buy them the clothes of harlots. We're going to conspire and collude and connive with our children against the Most High God. That was Eli's sin when Eli picked his sons before God. And God called him on it. How dare you esteem your sons higher than me, God says. And there's some in here who are conspiring like Ananias and Sapphira with their children. And that's why the baby's crying. Pastor, stop it, Pastor. I got them right where I want them, Pastor. Stop it. No, 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 no. I'm coming to uncover and reveal conspiracies. Hallelujah. Even in your household. Even in your household. All right? Don't ever go against God for anybody. Spouses, children, parents. We got parents and kids that have a relationship. Hallelujah. And kids that go against God for their parents. Not only parents that go against God for their children, but children who go against God for their parents. You don't know how many children we have in here. Or adults, amen, where their parents don't want them being in this church. Don't want them being, hallelujah, outside of their denomination. And the parents cut up. You going to church again? Yeah, it's Sunday. You go every Sunday, it is the Lord's Day. You know what I'm saying? And Tuesday come around, what you doing is, you going to church, you going to that church again? Yes. Yes. The words of God are there. But you see, that's when you got some boldness about you. And you really love God more than any other thing, all right? But some people can't take that. They love them parents so much, and they love, amen, that their relationship with them so much. When them parents begin to trip and act different and begin to question your love for God and your devotion, amen, to his house, oh, God forbid they find out that you're tithed, then you better hide your checkbook. All right? That peer pressure sometimes influences people. And the parents begin to speak death instead of life. And we notice that the weak ones, amen, slow down coming to church, slow down Bible study. Their attendance becomes sparse and spread out. And it's all because, amen, all because that they have colluded with somebody against the Most High. Spouses, children, parents. What our next one is, friends and family. Yeah, because some of y'all got friends. Y'all go against the Most High. Bosses, co-workers, church leaders. You know them church leaders not right. But you stay there. Stay supporting. Stay, hallelujah, there in that church. Amen. Colluding and conniving against the Most High. Somebody got to step up in these groups and say, man, we can't act like that. Sapphira should have told her husband. She would have saved her life. Listen to me, when we don't say nothing, amen, and go in there and lie with them, steal with them, cheat with them, fornicate with them, adulterate with them, amen, we put ourselves in a dangerous situation. And so I began to pray. As God was revealing to me this word, I say, Lord, what you want me to tell Philly and the people that's there as we look at this? And God spoke to me. God said, tell them about idolatry. I said, what? Idolatry. I thought I had missed God, Danny. I said, man, I must have ate something bad. He said, nah, idolatry. I said, what you mean, God? Well, sometimes when you place people over God, you don't begin to idolize a person. Oh, come on, somebody, all right? You see, when we hear of idolatry, we initially go back to the Old Testament, where we think of totem poles and we think about graven images and we think about Molech and Tammuz and Diana of the Ephesians, and we think about, hallelujah, some as though it were a trinket that people are worshiping. Listen, but that's not the only form of idolatry. No. You don't have to idolize an image. You can idolize a person. You ever heard of an American idol? Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Isn't that something how they call the stars idols? Listen, anything that we love more than God himself can be considered an idol. And sometimes people in those categories that we've mentioned, our love for them is too strong. It go outside the boundaries. It becomes unbiblical love. It becomes idolatry. Jesus knew it. And so in Matthew 10:37, he warned us. He said, listen to me. He that loveth father and mother more than me is what? Is not worthy of me. Don't you dare come here and play like you love me and you a Christian when you done put them people before me. Don't do that. Don't do that. No, 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 no. I'm number one in your life, God says. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is what? Is not worthy of me. The very first commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me, beside me, anywhere near me. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, thy strength. See? And love your neighbor as yourself, not like God. Idolatry. Do you have somebody in your life that you love in more than God? And when God bring you in a valid decision to ask you who you with, you do like Sapphira and you go with that person instead of going with God. Pastor, how can I tell that I love somebody more than I'm supposed to? How can I tell when my love for them is encroaching upon my love for the Most High God? Here's how we tell. When we disobey God for a person, that love, amen, has encroached upon the love of God. It's idolatry. Thank you, sister. Praise the Lord. It's idolatry. Yeah. Listen, when you disobey God for him, oh, yes. Give me some examples, Pastor. Well, like Ananias and Sapphira, you lie for him. You know? That's your brother or your sister. And how your dad, oh, they get in trouble. No, he never took it. No. Or like that's your spouse. No, that was the amount, Peter. You know? When you steal from. In Lafayette, we got families that's known for stealing. Come on, say the last name. I'm just joking. It's a family of thieves. They just steal. And when they walk in the mall, all the stores know they're there. But they still can't stop them. All right? But when you go in there and you be together with those band of thieves and you steal, you see, when you know God don't want you to steal. Young person, when you're with those friends and they in them stores, CVS or Walgreens, and they stealing, and you know that you was raised better than that. And you go ahead and put that in your pocket. You know what you've just done? You've just chosen them above your God. You've disobeyed God for them. Not only that, amen, that fornication. When that little man call you, that little woman call you. When that little boy, high school and college, when he call you over, amen. And you know God tells you that you're supposed to wait till marriage. Every time you lay down with that little man or that little woman and that's not your husband, y'all don't have no ring on y'all finger. Y'all never made no covenant. Every time you lay down with them, you've made a decision, a Sapphira decision. God, I'm not with you. I'm with him. Oh, it got quiet. Thank you, sister, for the while. I appreciate that. Same thing with adultery. Every time that little man call you and say, listen, my wife's going to be away. Or that little woman call you and say, my husband is out of town. When you go over there, you're making a decision. You're disobeying God for them. And at that moment, that person becomes an idol. They're your master. You understand what I'm saying? They're your God. The Bible says no man can serve. You're going to only have one. And either it's that little boy or it's God. Either it's that little girl or it's God. But you can't have two of them. Young lady, you know you're not supposed to be in that relationship with that little girl at school. She acting like a boy. She ain't no boy. She is not no boy. But her haircut, yeah, her haircut, she not a boy though. You with that little girl, she is not a man. I can show you she not a man. She not a man. You understand what I'm saying? That's homosexuality. But she love me and I love her. You've made her your God. She's your idol. Young man, same thing with you. You're with that man. You've chosen him over God. You are Sapphira. And in a second, we're going to see what Sapphiras get. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. You see? Pastor, how can I tell? When I began to disobey God for these people. You see? When you stop coming to church for them people, you done made them an idol. When you stop tithing for these people, you done made them an idol. I think about the woman of God who worked hard. She got a little check coming in. Amen. She done heard the word about tithing. She understand it. She know that it's what God wants in her life so he can bless her. You know? But she got this husband. His husband at home. Amen. Now, he give his money to his God. Oh, yeah. He go to the altar of Budweiser, the altar of Michelob, the altar of Coors, the altar of Newports. Amen. The altar of Cool Filter Kings. He go to that altar every day. Open the fridge or go to the store. Amen. And he give his tithe to his gods. But when the woman of God try to give her tithes to her God, he got a problem with it. And at that moment, that woman of God got a decision to make. She got a decision. Is he my idol or is God my God? Because I know what God done told me to do, but he telling me to do something else. Oh, at that moment, her and that man got to have a come to Jesus meeting. You do what you want with your money, but as for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. I'm tired. You do what you want. I never said nothing to you when you spend all our bill money over here. But I'm going to tithe. All right? But we ain't got no money. We would have some money if you would stop giving your tithe to your God. When you disobey God for them, they have become your idol. You see? I hear them boys on the street, you know. You talk to them boys in the hood. You try to get them in church, you know. And they be real with me sometimes. I remember being in the courtrooms and everything. You know, man, I got to get it, man. I got to hustle. I got to sell drugs. Why you got to do it, man? My children got to eat. Now, sometimes them boys saying they children, but they ain't saw their children in 5 years. You understand what I'm saying? The boy just straight lying. You know what I'm saying? Just straight lying. What you taking care of your kids got to do with rims on your car that don't stop spinning? You know what I'm saying? What that got to do with that? I don't understand that. It's kind of crazy. All right? My goodness. But even some of them that may be okay fathers, they say, I got to hustle so my kids can eat. Let's just hypothetically suggest, amen, that what they're saying is true. The veracity of the statement is accurate, all right? So they say, I'm hustling for my children, all right? So you got God on one side telling you not to sell drugs, not to be covetous, not to be greedy, not to break the laws of the land. Not to kill and destroy your own people, which just happens to be the people of the Most High God. That's God on this side. And you got your children who you think need the best shoes, the best hat, the best fingernails, the best. And so all of a sudden, we have a decision to make. Because your children will eat you. But God says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Your children gonna eat. Yeah. But it's never just about eating. It's about them having the best. So here we go. Our children and the Most High God. And boy's selling drugs because he done made his children an idol. Because he done made his wife an idol. Because somehow he can't see him just living regular because he got a job at Popeye's or Chick-fil-A. That's all right. Anybody hear me up in here? Anybody hear me up in here? I'm just trying to expose the devil's hand this morning and just show you the idols that we make. Amen. How we play the Sapphira. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pastor, how else can I tell? How else can I tell that I have placed somebody over God? When you delight more in them, then you delight in God. you have placed them over God. Listen, all of these relationships, God has, he's given us these people in our lives to enjoy. But there is a fine line, y'all, that we can cross sometimes. He's given us our wives and our children to enjoy them. Amen. But we're not supposed to obsess over them and to constantly think about them and to constantly do this and constantly do that. Hallelujah. We have to be careful, y'all, not to delight in the people God placed in our lives more than the God that placed them there. Anybody hear me up in here? We're more excited about our children, our husband, our family, our friends, our little boo and our little girlfriend, our little baby dad. We're more excited about them than we are about God. We're more excited to go to the family gathering than we are to come to the house of God. I can't get you here on Sunday, but let your family be throwing something back at the family house. Oh, yeah, we got the word of God here, but they got Michelob over there. We got the worship of God here, but they got the little 20 sack over there. And there you go, running over there. More excited to be with them than the real people of God. I wonder how many didn't come to Revive Soul where we was worshiping the Lord. Oh, but you was at something that your worldly people threw. When we delight ourselves more in people. More than we delight ourselves in God. Listen, we think about them more than we think about God. We talk about them more than we talk about God. Some of y'all don't have no reverence for God. If that girlfriend call you while you're praying, you're going to get off your knees. If that little boy call you while you're in church, you're going to text him back. Or you may even get up and go talk in the hall. Now he can call you and text you all week and even after church. But when he call you, when you have a segment of time that's devoted to the Most High, you will abbreviate the Most High's time. Cut his time short. Listen to me. When you delight in the more than God, it's a fine line. Richard Baxter talks about this. It's going to be heavy, but I'm going to read it to you. Richard Baxter was one of the Puritans, amen, and they normally cut it straight. They say, if we love a child, let's just say anything, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, friend, family member, more than we love God, we make a God of it. How many are guilty of this kind of sin? They think of their children or any other category that we've mentioned and delight in them more than they delight in God. This is to make an idol of a child, to set it in God's place or God's room. Thus, God is often provoked to take away our children. Oh, you ain't ready for this. You ready for this? You ready for who God really is? You ain't ready for this. Don't you know the Bible says, God says, I am a jealous God. He said, behold, my name is jealous. If I find you in love with anything more than you love me, don't be surprised when I come to get it. I'm telling you. And listen, we'll understand that for cars and clothes and houses. I hope that you understand that. They love the blessing more than they love the blessor. All right? But you got to understand, it not only applies to our corporeal things, our things, our material things, but they apply to people too. You got to tell your loved ones, I love you too much to love you more than God. Because you understand what I'm saying? You got to love them too much to love them more than God. Because God will come and test to see which one you love more. Remember what he did to Abraham? He said, Abraham, take thy child, thy son, thy only son, and bring him to the place where I would tell thee. And after Abraham showed his devotion to the Most High God, He said, now I see, Abraham, that you love me. That you love me more than the child. Listen to me. I'm not telling any of y'all to take your child on the Chaffalai Basin this evening. I'm not telling you that. It's merely an illustration to show you the heart of God. Don't ever place that spouse or that child or anything else. We got people that's been waiting for a spouse. You've been single for so long and God finally blessed you with it. There's some waiting right now and your time is right around the corner. Here's a warning. Here's a warning. Here's a warning. When she comes into your life, when God drops that Boaz into your life, remember the place at the top only belongs to the Most High. Woo! All right? And this happens, amen, to people who can't have children. They finally get that child just like Abraham and Sarah, amen, and they finally get that child, and all of a sudden they stop coming to church, stop serving God. Now God had answered their prayers. God gave them that. Now they don't want none of God no more. That's a dangerous place. Look what Baxter says. Let's go back to Baxter. Come on, let's go back to him. Baxter says, listen, thus God is often provoked to take away our children. If we love the jewel more than him that gave the jewel, God will take away the jewel, that our love may return to him again. Remember, he is our first love. Come on, give God some glory. That's Richard Baxter. We got to be careful. We got to be careful. We got to be so careful. You see? And didn't that happen to Eli? Didn't God take away Eli's sons? Because he esteemed his sons more than he esteemed the Most High God. Let me give you a third one. Amen. Listen to me good. Another way that we can tell when we've idolized somebody in our life, amen, not only when we disobey God for them, amen, not only when we delight more in them than we delight in our God, but also when we leave God, when we lose them. When we leave God, when we lose them. And there are a plethora of ways that we lose people. We lose people when they walk out on us, when they abandon us, when they leave us physically. But we also lose them when they pass away, when they die, when they cross Jordan. And you'd be surprised, amen, how many people I've seen pastoring come and go based upon the absence or the presence of a loved one. Oh, God, have mercy. You'd be surprised now. You'd be surprised. Hallelujah. They get that divorce and they stop coming to church. As though serving God was contingent upon them being married. As though they were telling God, God, if I can't have him, then I don't want you. Oh, God, have mercy. That's an idol, friends. That's an idol. Be surprised how many do that. Oh, yeah. And even deeper than that, when they lose a loved one. When that person crossed Jordan and no longer with them, they lose that husband, or God forbid, they lose that child. And guess what happens? They lose their love for God. They back away from God. I'm not saying it's easy, saints. I'm not saying that this is something that's going to come easy, but we have to settle in our hearts that whoever come in and out of our lives, amen, is irrelevant to whether we serve God or not. It don't matter who is with us when we serve in God. We got to do like the old hymn writer, though none go with us, still I will follow. They can divorce me, they can leave me, they can abandon me, but guess where I will be? I will be in the house of the Lord. Oh, somebody got to hear me here. Listen to me. I love my little wife, and I love my children. But you got to settle in your heart. If God would sovereignly decide to take them, it would not affect your service of God, your love for God. And people do what they do the opposite of what they're supposed to do. When he come to get them, you press harder after God. You get closer to him. Because God, I need to understand this. I'm at a loss, God. I thought everything was good. I don't understand what's going on. You don't run from the one that's going to give you understanding. Oh, God, have mercy. They become an idol when we leave God based upon their life, their death, their fellowship, and their closeness, their union with us. We can't do that, saints. We can't do that. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. We can't do it. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, amen, that they were agreed together. Agreed together. They conspired together. Who is the devil trying to get you to conspire with to leave the Most High God? You see? Let's move on, amen, to our second point. Amen. Our second point. While we're here, saints, listen. There's been so many people, amen, that come to Philly and do good in Philly. And they let people take them away from the place where they find God, the place where they get to know God, and the place where they begin to grow at an accelerated rate to be conformed in the image of God. Please be careful of the Ananiases and Sapphiras in your life. All right? I've had situations happen, amen, where husband and wife come in and husband is growing. But wife not really after the things of God like husband. And you know me, I got that old prophetic thing where I began to talk about the very thing that people be doing. And they be mad at me. They be hot at me. He talking my business. He picking on me. He knew where I was. And if you don't really want God, Philadelphia is a very hard place to be. It's difficult. It's difficult because of the spiritual pressure that's here. We pray every single day that God will give us what we call a rhema word. We don't want to come here and not hear the voice of God. And you can tell when God is in a place because the Bible says that his spirit is going to come to convict and to reprove of sin, righteousness, and the judgment to come. But not everybody can handle that pressure. And so they begin to get uncomfortable. That little seat get hot with that cloth right there. And they're wondering, why is it warm in here? Why am I sweating in here? And why, you know what I'm saying? And not a husband on the side, he enjoying this. He growing. But the wife not liking this. So they go playing the Ananias and Sapphira. They get home, they say, I don't like this church. You know that color on that back wall, that red? That red, it do something to me. They got that red up there, they think it's strawberries or something. It's a very unspiritual red that they have back there. If it was a burgundy, we could take it. But I don't know what red that is. What I'm saying, listen, they pick any old thing to disagree with the church, to leave, all right? To get out of the pressure. If you're here, don't be deceived. Don't let nobody take you out of the place of blessing. I don't want to lose no husband. I don't want to lose no wife to no Ananias and Sapphira. Now, you sitting in here, nothing wrong with that church, this church, but you going to leave because they told you to leave? That's idolatry. And to the men in here, man of God, you better be a man. You better be a man of God. You tell that wife steady. Steady, I'm growing. Steady, the word over here is keeping me right. You don't want me to leave this place. You don't want me to leave this place. You don't really, I know you're uncomfortable, amen, but you don't really want me. You don't want to see me outside this place. I need what he bringing from the Most High. I need that in your face. If I'm not getting that in your face, I need. So don't you be telling me to go somewhere that's not going to convict. It's not going to do for me what I need. I don't want to hear that again about you won't leave this place. You don't know what I need as a man to stay a man. You see? Got some women in here trying to pull that little man away from here. Listen, the foolish woman plucked down her own house with her own hands. Don't be one of those. All right? But let me tell you, the opposite is true as well. We got some women of God that's not foolish women. And they actually on fire for the Most High. I'm talking about some roots up in here. And the devil not slithering to get in through their door. They got their door. You know what I'm saying? Or my wife would say their door. They have their door. Gotta watch me now. I've got a little hood in me. Every time by the house, I say door. I say, babe, get the door. She said, the door. It's not that I don't know how to say it. I just would prefer to say it. All right, let's get back there. But we got this woman of God that's more on fire than her husband. And the opposite happens. The husband is the one now. Can we get out of here? Can we go to another church? Can we go to somebody that's a little nicer? I don't like that little dude, man. You know? And it's like Paul tell the people, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's what Paul said. All right? So, woman of God, hold your ground. I'm not trying to divide up your family. If they want to go someplace else, let them go. And you just do a little service over there, but you come back home. Do the 8 over there and come here with 10:30. All right? Because you're getting what you need. Don't let somebody take you out the place where you're getting what you need. That's that Ananias and Sapphira spirit. But let me tell you, I'm about to move on, but I'm here. Watch your children as well. Because the young ones don't like me either, no. Oh, the young ones don't like me. You know what I'm saying? They like me, yeah. But they don't like me. Because while I'm by the school and stuff, they hug me, they grip me up, they like me. But they don't like me when I'm up here. Or when I'm talking to them one-on-one. Because the Lord is revealing, amen, the things done in darkness, he exposing. Internet, iPhones, and the little text messages and the little Snapchats and the little Instagrams and the little apps that you can hide in the calculator. And the Lord revealing all that stuff. And I don't like that little man. Mama, let's go to another church with a strong youth ministry. Watch the Ananias and Sapphira. Don't even let your kids pull you out of it. People got a way of not liking what's good for them. Man, it's like Danny, I could remember that little, that health unit, the health unit. That's what they call that? Yeah. Well, that was off of Pinhook, huh? I'd go there to get my shot, boy. And my mom, you know, we wouldn't say it back then. My mom would tell me all kinds of stuff. Where we going? We going to Toys R Us? We going? All kind of stuff. I'm in the car all happy pulling up at the health unit. Why won't we turn in the parking lot? I'm not getting out the car, mom. Until she got serious. You know? But I didn't want what I needed. Can you understand that your children sometimes don't want what they need? Oh, yeah, we giving booster shots up in here. Vaccines and penicillin. You know? You're going to hate me now. But you're going to love me later. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right, listen. Come on, let's wrap it up. By her husband. Conclusionary point. By her husband. You see? We're going to do it like that, babe. The Bible says in 5:10, then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. As soon as Sapphira lied to Peter, she didn't take the opportunity of grace and mercy, but chose her husband over God. As soon as she did that, the Bible says she fell down, gave up the ghost, and died. And the same boys that buried her husband, buried her right next to him. Two things come out of that. Number one, understand that there is something that John calls in his epistle, 1 John, a sin that is unto death. Understand that. A sin that is unto death. And what we need to understand when we talk about that is that God has a line drawn. And whether you're a child of God or whatever, if you cross that line, God's going to take you out the game. There's a sin unto death. Some of y'all done felt it before. You ever been close to that line? When you know that God don't want you doing something no more, and there you go playing around the line, and God like them boys on MP Moss Playground. And the ball would draw a line in the dirt when the fight was about to happen. Ball, and it's like you can hear. Ball draw the line. Y'all know how it go. They say, you want to bump? Cross that line. Oh, let me tell you. Listen, if you pick up your foot, he's going to steal you. So listen. That's what God done. That's what God has done. He's drawn a line in your life. A sin unto death. And he said, listen, you done played around long enough. You cross that line. You sleep with one more married man. You sleep around one more time with somebody that you're not married with. You play around and you get in that car drunk one more time. You try to smoke that legal one more time, and you know I done gave you a chance. I done brought you close to the line. Come on. You done seen the other side. They done had to resuscitate you. The gun was on you. You're getting them straight. Just one more time you play with me. And a lot of us, we know when we done came close. Done went to the doctor and got checked, and they tell you that you're negative. God looked down and said, you came close to the line. Next time you go for that test, you're playing with me. In all of our lives, there's a line. Your line might be further than mine. Your line might be closer than mine. Every child know how far daddy want them to go. You understand what I'm saying? Me? I think my line is really close. So I do not play with God. I believe that God going to take me out. You understand? Take me home. Come on, boy, get out the game. I done showed you too much. You know, don't you? You know the children that's supposed to know better. You know what? That's how we do with grace. You know, we understand that he's going to do. But grace, you the oldest. You know what I'm saying? You know better. You know what I'm saying? We just had a talk before this service. She said, Pastor, she said, Daddy, the word convicted me. You know, that time that Annalise followed me. Let me see, what had been? All right, praise the Lord. She was telling me, Brother Sam, she said, you know, that time when Annalise followed me to do wrong, she said, Daddy, I was so convicted. I said, look, baby girl, I said, you the oldest. You're supposed to know better. And anything you do, they're going to follow you. And you got two younger. And I'm not trying to put no pressure on you, but you got to understand your calling. I never made you the oldest. God made you the oldest. And you can't, look, we talk about the word between service, me and her. Because she can understand and she knows what's really going on. Yes. You know? So the line is different for her. You know? I wonder who I'm talking to in here. Where the line is different for you. And you watch all your friends get away with all kinds of stuff. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And for you, the line is different, baby. Man, God will put you in jail so fast you'll be on home house arrest so fast. Or be up in the ambulance. Everybody smoking everything. You look at a bag of weed. Elizabeth. Coming to join you, honey. Listen. There is a sin unto death. And Mike, some of us have played with him, huh? And got close to the line. Can you discern when you're close to the line? Sapphira didn't know. But she crossed it. Who am I talking to today? You've scheduled sin. You planning on doing it today, this week. And there's somebody here that's going to cross the line. Bible says she died. She gave up the ghost. God don't like when we conspire together with somebody. He really don't like that against him. And in the laws of most states, including Louisiana, co-conspirators get the same punishment. They get the same punishment, all right? Meaning that if you sit down and plan something with somebody, it don't matter if you're the driver, you're the gunman, you know, all the intricate details. Don't matter. You plan this thing with somebody, you're going to get the same time. That's the way it is in Louisiana law, Revised Statute, Title 14, Section 26. You understand? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. You know? Co-conspirators get the same punishment. Not only is it like that in Louisiana, it's like that in the high courts of heaven. Yeah. When you sit down and plan evil together, God's going to judge you together. He gave Sapphira the exact same judgment that he gave her husband. That's a scary thing. You see? Because good people can go down with bad people. People with potential, people with real, amen, hallelujah, giftings and anointings. By just getting with the wrong people and conniving with the wrong people, you can go down. That's how I feel about Sapphira. You see, that's how I feel about her. You see? Her name, Sapphira, means beautiful in the eyes of God. Her name, Sapphira, means a jewel. We get, hallelujah, the jewel, the stone, sapphire, from her name, Sapphira. And that stone was so important back in biblical days that they thought that it had a purifying element to it. When people were sick, they would put sapphire stones in them. It was something that meant pure because of the hardness of the sapphire stone. There's only a few stones harder than this stone, amen. One would be the diamond, but not too many others. It was pure, precious, valuable. They come in brilliant blues and greens and all kinds of different colors. And to me, God was speaking to me as I was studying that this woman of God was a beautiful creation, a beautiful child of God that was supposed to do great things for the Most High. But she got with the wrong man. And instead of choosing God, she chose him. And whoever you conspire with, you get their punishment. I wonder who's here. What child of God is here that God want to do something great with. But you're choosing a spouse, a child, a parent, a friend, a boss, a co-worker, a church member before you choose the Most High. Are you a Sapphira this morning? This principle of justice on co-conspirators runs so deep in the Bible. God will punish those that come together. He says in the Psalms, though hand join in hand, or rather in the Proverbs, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. In Matthew 25, 41, look at it here. The Bible talks about the enemy. And the Bible talks about those who won't come to God. It says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire. And who was the fire prepared for? It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell and the lake of fire was never meant for us. It was always meant for the devil and his angels. But if you don't choose God this morning, if you don't join God's team, if you don't get forgiven, God says those who are not for us are against us. And those that's against God will get what those who are against God, what they getting. They're going to get what the devil getting. But you're going to tell me, but Pastor, I didn't choose the devil, but you didn't choose God. And those that don't choose God by default, they choose. If you're not gathering with me, you're scattering abroad. Listen to me. At the end of days, God going to line people up and he going to say, who with me? And all of those that's chosen Christ, all of those like us, we've chosen Christ, we love the Lord, we're going to get on this side. And those that didn't choose him, they're going to get on the other side with Lucifer and his angels. And the ground going to open up. And they're going to be swallowed in the lake of fire where it's going to be burning in brimstone. The Bible said there'll be crying and gnashing of teeth, where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. Co-conspirators will be punished together. Sapphira was buried right by her husband. Who am I talking to here this morning? You're not saved this morning. You have not called upon God to forgive you of your sins. You've not chosen him. You're still putting people and places and things before him. In this message, it is obvious to you that you are not on God's team. You can tell by the way you're living. You can tell by the decisions that you make. Listen to me. You will know a tree by its fruit. I don't care what you say. I'm talking about what's coming out of you. You're always choosing people over God. You're always choosing a little boy, a little girl, a car, this dope game. You're always choosing people before God. This morning, I want to give you a Sapphira opportunity. I'm going to stand here like Peter. And I'm going to ask the question, who you with? Who you with? And if you've not chosen God, if you've not called upon him and confessed him, you're going to have an opportunity to come. But you'll say, Pastor, you don't know I'm dirty. I'm still in sin. Before I came here, I was doing wrong. And after I leave, I was planning on doing wrong. Listen to me. The Bible says, come just as you are. Don't worry about what you did last night, what you did the week before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God so loved the world that he gave his son for us. While we were sinners, he died for us. You come just as you are. But Pastor, even while you was preaching, hallelujah, I had thoughts and I'm dirty, Pastor. I don't want to hear that. There's never an opportunity where you would say, I'm too dirty to take a bath. Come get clean. Though your sins be red as scarlet, he will wash you as white as snow. Don't be like Sapphira. Seize your opportunity of grace. But I want to talk to the Christians here. And you're going to come up to Christian. You know, you've been tempted to idolize people. And God seen it. He don't like it. Come repent of it. Come repent of it. Come and tell God you're sorry before he began to remove things out of your life. Ushers, open up the gates. As they open them up, the doors of the church are opening. The ark is opening. Before judgment, there's warning. Before, hallelujah, the water begins to pour out, God gives an opportunity. Come. Come and be saved. Don't be like Sapphira. Don't miss your opportunity. You know if this message was talking to you or not. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Don't sit in here and say, hallelujah, he's not talking about me. Don't sit in here and look at somebody on the side of you and say, oh, they need to be up. Because usually, that's the ones that need to be up here. Time for us to get back to God. It's time for us to put him really and truly number one again. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Do you know how it feels to give somebody everything and for them to place somebody before you? That's how God feels. Pray with me, say, God, I'm sorry for all my sins. I want to be real with you. I've placed some things before you. Forgive me, Lord. I believe that you died for me on the cross. I believe that you were buried in the grave. I believe you rose on the third day. And I know you're coming back. Lord, I don't want to be punished with the devil and his angels. I choose you. Save me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me with your blood. I choose you. I want to be on your team. On your side. I choose you. Please save me. And use me. And fill me with your spirit. Help me, Lord, when I'm weak, to keep you number one in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Give God some glory. Give him some glory. Give him some glory, somebody. Give him some glory. Put him number one. Put him first. Put him first. Put him first. No man, no woman, or child gonna take the place of God in your life. Tell your loved ones, I love you too much to love you more than God. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with peace, with peace, with peace, with peace, with peace, with peace, with shalom, with peace. I pray your week this week be a blessed week. That God prospers you, fills you with joy, bless your marriage, bless your children, and your children's children. Love you too. Be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. And I see you. Give me some love.
Sweet Spirit.
Love you, man.
Sweet Spirit. Take over this place. Take over this place. Sweet Spirit.
Look at them two right there. Look at them two. They got game.